go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio program called Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie, we're excited to be with you today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus when he said, Francis, go rebuild my church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today. Leslie and I have recently launched a lay apostolate. You can learn more about us and our passion for renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org. That's www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
For those of you who may have joined us last week for our inaugural program, we talked about the current crisis in the American Catholic Church. And Peter shared with us some statistics and how we're facing some of the same challenges that St. Francis faced in his day. But we're also seeing the Holy Spirit at work, and there are many renewal movements coming forth that are helping us to go rebuild the church. So during this program, we're excited because we're going to be providing pathways for individuals as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
In today's broadcast, we will talk about the power that is released in sharing our conversion story. In the scriptures, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where St. Peter says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to give an account for the hope that lies within you. I believe personal renewal really can begin for the Catholic Christian when we trace how the Lord has worked in each of our lives, when we literally write that story out, and then we prepare ourselves to tell the story when the Lord says, tell so-and-so your story. St. Paul in the scripture is a favorite of mine for this. He's a model for demonstrating the power in telling a conversion story. And let's take some time to delve into his example. Of course, the first experience and occurrence of his conversion story takes place in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. The Holy Spirit recounts the details of what happened to him on that day as he traveled to Damascus to persecute the church. Paul is an example of a conversion that takes place literally like an explosion.
This is one of my favorite accounts in the New Testament. Are you going to read that for us, Peter?
Well, I'm not going to necessarily read that, but I'm going to read how Paul used his conversion story when he appeared before King Agrippa. And when he shares that conversion story, you can see the power that takes place.
It's quite dramatic, but we know that not everyone encounters Jesus in this way. What are some of the other ways that people experience conversion?
Well, conversion can happen in process, not like Paul's necessarily explosion in one moment. It can happen in process, beginning in one's childhood, and that's kind of like a thematic kind of expression of a story, or it can happen as it does like with St. Paul as he has that deep experience on the road to Damascus. Okay, so I'm going to take the time to read the scripture where Paul appears before Agrippa and give you an example of what it sounds like when Paul, who is our model, and Paul even said one time, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But just listen to Paul's story to get an idea of where we're headed today. Paul said to Agrippa, I think myself fortunate that before you, King Agrippa, I'm able to make a defense against all the accusations of the Jews, because you are especially familiar with all customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among our nation in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if you're willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I'm accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it that thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself am convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only shut up many of the saints in prison by authority of the priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues, and I tried to make them blaspheme. And in a raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Thus I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It hurts you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and bear witness to the things in which you have seen and heard, and to those which are going to appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place upon those who are sanctified by me in truth. So you can see Paul simply told his story. He started from his youth, and the scripture goes on to say after that Paul could sense that Agrippa was being affected by Paul's story, and Paul even said to him, he said, King, O king, I think that you're getting close to understanding and believing what I have just shared with you.
Okay, Peter, that's a great, great testimony from the scriptures, and we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, Peter and I will speak about the essentials for putting together your conversion story and how you, our listeners, can begin to use your story to bring Jesus Christ to others.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about the power that is released in sharing our conversion story and how St. Paul shared his own story to witness to King Agrippa. And when we learn to communicate the gospel in our own words and our own experience, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released.
Yes, we're learning that throughout our journey, renewal begins with us when we trace how the Lord has worked in our own lives, and then we're willing to share that story with others.
So our goal today is for you and I to learn how to share our experience in Christ Jesus in a humble, honest, and natural way. We're going to learn how to write a 3-minute conversion story. An important ingredient will be to share who you are and how you came to believe in Jesus Christ, just like St. Paul did. Your life and my life makes the gospel believable to those who hear, and the first step is being, and it's the first step to being a witness. And it's real easy to do.
Okay, Peter, I know that teaching is one of your gifts, so how do we get started?
Okay, so what I'm going to suggest that we do is that we write our story no more than one page, and if you've got your word processor, that that we're talking about between 300 and 350 words. We're going to write in a conversational style as though we're talking to a friend. No one else needs to read it or correct it, so don't worry about spelling and grammar. Just be yourself. Aim to tell in no more than 3 minutes how you came to the decision to follow Jesus Christ in your life.
I've had the privilege, Peter, of attending some of your workshops in the diocese regarding this topic. And during your workshop, you shared some great tips that really helped me when I wrote out my story. So can you share with us what else we should be keeping in mind as we put together our conversion story?
Yes, Leslie. So when we write our story and we think about our story, we want to keep clearly in mind about the content of what the content of our gospel is. That is, focusing on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When we write in the first person using the I word or me. Next, we write in such a way that others will be able to identify with you. We offer enough detail to arouse their interest. And also, it's good to use sacred scripture, quoting to illuminate something that happened to us on our journey, and try to memorize the scripture itself. We don't want to be too wordy. Remember, 3 minutes is the max of what we're looking at. We don't want to focus on how bad we were apart from Christ and the church, but rather the goal is to share about the King and the kingdom of God. Also, we do not present our lives as a bed of roses on the other side of the coin. We want to try to be honest as we share our testimony. As you remember, St. Paul was honest about the way he persecuted the way. If they know other Christ followers, they know that you and I are not perfect by any means. If your commitment to Jesus Christ happened as an adult, as I mentioned earlier, it makes sense to write it in a chronological order. This tells what you were like before you put your trust in the Lord and how you were converted or reconverted, if the case may be, and how your life has changed since your dedication to Him.
Now, Peter, for a lot of us, our conversion was more of a gradual process. So what if your commitment to Jesus Christ began in childhood and it unfolded gradually and it's not really tied to one specific event like Paul when he was knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus? So how should we approach telling our story in that case?
Well, what I would call the thematic testimony is really best there. This approach focuses on how Christ made a difference in dealing with a problem in one's life or a challenge that you face in your life, but the emphasis is on how the Lord can meet our needs and give us a purpose for living.
These are all great tips. And at the end of the program, for our listeners, we're going to be letting you know where you can request more information about telling your story. We're ready now to take another short break, and when we come back, Peter and I will model for you what that 3-minute conversion story looks like. So please stay with us.
So the scan button brought you here. Awesome. We like company. Get to know us. And if you have to leave, come back. You're always welcome. Catholic Radio Indy.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our program, everyone. Go Rebuild My Church. We've been discussing how the telling of our conversion story releases the power of God upon those we share it with, as well as a point of renewal for ourselves. Like we mentioned that verse in Proverbs that says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so that's the way our story works. When we tell our story as St. Paul did to King Agrippa in our own words, in our own way, we can touch the people that God sends us to, as well as finding ourselves being renewed at the same time.
Before the break, we talked about how there were two types of stories. We talked about a chronological account, which really focuses on our encounter with the Lord as an adult and how we were converted or reconverted at that point. And then we also highlighted the thematic approach, how it's a gradual process. We meet Christ at different junctures, beginning in our childhood and carrying that throughout our life. So, Peter, now you're going to talk about your story.
So I thought I would do what I suggested and write out my story, about 350 words, on a sheet of paper, and just what it is like to have in our repertoire the ability to share our faith when the Lord opens up the opportunity. So this is my story. As a 9-year-old boy, I was brought up in an Irish Catholic home, and my mother was a very devoted Catholic. She would put me down to bed each night and say my night prayers with me. One night, she went through our routine, said goodnight to me, and I could see the hallway lights go off as she went downstairs. When those lights went off, it was as if the spiritual lights came on in my bedroom. With no initiation on my own, I saw a scene of crucifixion, and I knew immediately that it was Jesus hanging on the cross. But instead of looking like he did on crucifixes that I was familiar with, rather he was totally naked and his body was torn to pieces. I immediately began to cry and call out to him. At that point, I knew that he was with me and at work in my life. The scripture says in Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Later on in high school and then college, I drifted from that revelation and turned my life away from the Lord. I got involved in the, quote, hippie movement. Some of you have heard of that movement of the 60s and 70s, and was not living for the Lord, but for the passing worldly pleasures of sin. One evening in front of a pizza parlor, interestingly enough, at Bowling Green State University in Ohio, an acquaintance of mine from New York said to me that his mother was a clairvoyant and saw destruction coming my way. I later reflected this was Satan's plan for my life. Several weeks later, 4 young men from Ohio State University and members of the Campus Crusade for Christ came to the house where I live. That evening, they shared their stories of how Jesus Christ changed their lives. And as they shared that evening, I felt my soul literally came on fire. When they left, I went upstairs to my bedroom and got on my knees and called on the Lord of my youth. The Lord came upon me, broke the chains of addiction, confusion, and fear, and then from that night forward, he has transformed my life and gave me his pathway to follow.
Peter, thank you for sharing your personal conversion story. I'm always struck by that story, as many times as I've heard it, how Jesus really was a good shepherd. He left the 99 and went after you, his sheep that was lost. So we're going to take a moment now to look at your story and how you developed it. First of all, I want everyone to note that you did share your story in the first person, and you opened with an experience that made it personal, kind of drew us in, talking about your mother and saying your bedtime prayers together. Secondly, you aroused our interest. I really liked the part where you said when the lights went out, spiritual lights came on in your bedroom, and we could all visualize that as you shared that. Also, you did share the scripture. You illuminated what was happening in your life by sharing Romans 10:13, remember, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And even though your journey did take you down a path that was away from God, that was filled with darkness and sin, you really didn't make that the primary focus of your story. You made the primary focus meeting Jesus and really encountering him. And then lastly, you ended on a very positive note, how Jesus transformed your life and set you free from the power of sin and death. And when you share that story, nobody can argue with the fact that this is what you experienced and that God really worked redemptively in your life in a visible, tangible way.
So, again, that being an example, next week we're going to talk about the times that the Lord does give us to share our story. In fact, St. Paul, and we'll again discuss this further next week, in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, asked people to pray for him, that the Lord would open up doors for him, and that the Lord would show him how to communicate with each person that that door is opened up with. And that's been a prayer of mine over the years, and just to even pray that scripture verbatim, asking the Lord to put me kind of in the right place and at the right time and open up a door to tell my story. And and it can come so simply. I was at the grocery store one day, and I was in line, and the checkout person greeted me and said, "Oh, I'm glad you came to me and not the person in the next aisle, because they're a hippie." And I said, "Oh, a hippie." I said, "I was a hippie back in the 60s, as I mentioned in my story." And then I said to them, have you ever met anybody that went to Woodstock?" And he said, "No, I haven't." I said, "Well, you've met him for the first time here." And that led into me talking about where I was when I went to Woodstock and then what Jesus Christ had done to me. So it was a little simple thing, but he was very touched by it. He told me he went to Ball State University, and then he was finishing up, and he was taking a religion course there. And he said, "Oh, isn't this interesting that we're talking about this today?" As mentioned earlier, we have a great tool for organizing and putting together your story. If you email me at Doane, DOANEP, as in Peter, at gmail.com, we can, free of charge, send you this beautiful tool that helps people look at their story, reflect on their story. It almost can be used as a devotional. This tool I've used in the Diocese of Lafayette at a meeting seminar that we had on sharing our faith, etc., and people really loved it. It really almost, like I said, could be used as a devotional as one reflects on their journey and how God has intervened, in the best sense of the word, in someone's life. And it really helps. It really helps us organize our thoughts, and it also, again, makes us realize that, yes, indeed, God really has been working in my life. So that's, again, the email is Doane@gmail.com, and free of charge, we will send you out this wonderful tool that helps us look at our story, organize it, reflect on it, and really make it a part of our spiritual life and spiritual repertoire, so to speak. So just some summary thoughts here as we end up today. The call to evangelize and to share our faith is a key to rebuilding the church. St. Pope Paul VI was, after Vatican II, wrote a apostolic exhortation on the importance of evangelism, and it seems like that he began to unearth that ancient part of the church that had seemingly been lost over time. And then from then, the baton, obviously, to evangelize passed to John Paul II, and then Pope Benedict picked it up, and then Pope Francis, of course, has picked it up as well. So it seems like that the Holy Spirit, since the late 60s and 70s, has been speaking to our church about the importance of evangelism, about sharing our faith. And I've discovered over time that this is something that just doesn't come naturally. There really has to be a teaching, a training, an instruction that happens for that to take place. Hopefully today will be a beginning point for each of us that we can build on as we seek to be the Lord's hands and feet in our culture. Next week, we're going to continue to explore this dynamic of telling our conversion story, and we're going to discover just exactly when to know the Lord wants us to tell our stories. And we're going to look at these phrases, and I'll explain them next week. But here, first of all, there's the idea of when God gives us what I call a divine appointment. A divine appointment is when the Lord brings us into a situation and circumstance like St. Peter mentioned, where somebody asks us about the hope that lies within us. Then the second circumstance we're going to talk about are human predicaments. That's when people in our network, family, friends, co-workers, people that we are journeying with in the life process, have an event in their life where you just know that faith in Christ is the answer for their dilemma. So that's called, so we have divine appointment, human predicament. And then the third dimension that we're going to talk about is what I call the power of one. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. I'm going to give you some opportunity to think about that one person in your life that the Lord may be saying to befriend, and because eventually the Lord is going to have you share your faith with Him. So again, thank you for joining us. We're so excited to be with you this week, and as we together explore what it means for us together to rebuild the Church of Jesus Christ in our day and age. Thanks again for joining us.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.